first tell you a little bit about our story before we jump into the Word. Maybe let's read a verse together. Matthew 9:17. Jesus says that no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Matthew 9:17. Who likes new wine? It's like, no, this is an awkward question to ask in church, eh? It's like, but this is Jesus speaking, by the way, not me. Jesus says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. But new wine is stored in new wineskins. Say new wineskins. You guys are right with saying stuff. Okay, cool. We like saying stuff, eh? Thought you were speaking to me. No. New wineskins so that both are preserved. Okay. So when I got saved, led to the Lord, when I was 8 years old, back in 1992, on the stoopy outside of our house, I grew up with my parents separated when I was young. When I was one. Come on. I'm Afrikaans first language, by the way, guys. So intercede, especially you guys at the back. Intercede for me. Okay. My parents separated when I was one. Basically lived with my mom most of those years. And then my dad got us because my mom literally lost everything. Like, we ended up living in a caravan park when I was seven in the little Volkswagen Orange City Golf. It was a vibe, guys. And they're in Worcester. If you guys know Worcester, Worcester do better. So we then the social workers in the court said, no, you need a roof over your head. Who likes roofs over your heads? Okay, so we went to live with my dad, me and my two sisters, and it was that December that my dad actually led me to the Lord. So coming out of quite a bit of brokenness, coming into that, got three stepbrothers for free as well. That was quite amazing. Suddenly, I was the youngest of three. Then I was suddenly number four, slap bang. You know, middle child, that's weird. Like if you go from the favorite to middle. But the Lord is good, and He works in mysterious ways. And so I was there, and my father taught us to love the Bible. We spent time with the Lord every day of our lives. It was quite a beautiful thing. Learn to love the Lord, love the Bible. We were a bit in church in those first couple of years. There was some misunderstandings at a stage, so we left the church and did some home churching for many years. Got filled with the Spirit when I was 15, got baptized. Really was passionate about the Lord. Had a bit of a detour at a stage when I was 19. But the Lord woke me up one morning and said, you better get better friends. Because it's our friends, the people we spend time with, that really shape us. So choose your friends wisely, says the Lord. And I went back to church, found better friends, did some more home churching, joined a missions organization. And at that missions organization, one day, a young lady called Grace from Hong Kong, she told me, she really feels the Lord said, when you leave here, you need to join a local church. And it hit me, like, you know, like when has anyone spoken something to you and it hits you? Like a boom. Yeah, okay, that's true. And I remember end of that year, it was 2010, end of that year, I moved to, early 2011, I moved to Mossel Bay. And I just literally drove around looking for a church. And it was before Facebook. Oh, maybe Facebook was arrived, but Google wasn't. We weren't like on the internet as much as nowadays. So you kind of just drive around to go look for churches. And for young people won't believe me. Like literally, we would drive around. The older people would go like, yes, I remember those days. Anyway, found a church, was there for like a year. But in that year, one evening, I met my beautiful, wonderful wife. She wasn't part of our church, but she was part of a church called Joshua Generation in Mossel Bay. Woohoo! This is where you go, woohoo! She went, yeah, come on. So she saved me. She called me up. She called me out of where I was into Josh Jane, and it was a beautiful, beautiful transition. We were part of that little church. I don't know if you guys know Chad Lahana, but he was there. Then he handed over to Mornay. And we got married that first Sunday morning when Mornay van der Walt took over the church. And that church grew from 2011 to 2020, early 2020, from 80 to 500 people. That's quite an amazing journey to walk with one congregation for that long. And in 2020, we planted out a Hermanus congregation, we planted out an evening congregation, and we planted a morning congregation, very similar to what's happening here. And the thing was, we stayed in the morning. And for my brain told me we stayed behind. So we are still the same congregation. But every Sunday morning, it feels so different. It really felt different because a third of the people is now in Hartenbos and the other third of the people are in the evening. And we had a George congregation that we also planted out. So you're constantly planting out, planting out, planting out. So by middle 2020, you look around and you just don't, it doesn't feel the same. You guys know what I mean? When your friends are not with you in your congregation anymore. Who of you guys had that? Yeah, you miss them, eh? Oh, it's good to be sad sometimes, as long as it doesn't make you depressed, you know? And some of our friends are there, the kids are missing their friends. Now, kids, it's a big sacrifice. Who of you guys know that? It's hard work to build new friendships, eh? So we, end of 2020, then 2022, the Lord spoke, and we were asked to move to our evening congregation. Again, same faces, same old people, but different congregation, different context. And 2024 came, and it was again. Our kids had to say goodbye to our friends in the morning, make new friends in the evening. It's a sacrifice. You guys with me? This is good news, by the way. You can smile. Hello? This is good news. I'll get to the better news, even Nana. So we there, and we have to build new friendships. Say goodbye to the morning. 2024 come, the Lord speaks very clearly to us, very clearly. It's time to move to Cape Town. Come on. Who likes Cape Town?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Cape Town? We almost had one hand there. Almost. You don't like Cape Town? Come, Lord, we'll pray for this young man. Fill him with faith. And we moved to Cape Town when we joined Sunningdale 8:30. Now, who of you guys are part of 8:30 here? Like a lot of you guys, eh? So 8:30 is a weird time. You guys with me? Like, when do you pray even? When do you like start your morning? It's just put it on the hour, you know? But the Lord is doing something new. The Lord is doing something new. And in each of these transitions of our lives, this might be the third, fourth, tenth. Some of you guys have been maybe around for even longer. The transition's happening. So the Lord is doing something new all the time. And the challenge with the new, is the following. That the biggest enemy, John Wesley said this actually, the biggest enemy to revival is our previous revival. The biggest enemy to real reformation in our lives is our previous reformation. Because we love to hold on to what the Lord did. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things as people. Oh man, I remember praying for the guy back in 2018 and the Lord healed him. You remember that guy? What, it's 2026 now. The Lord has made today. This is a new day. You know, the Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. It's not just a children's song. It's actually in the Bible. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. So for us in these transitions, now I do have empathies. Most of us don't like change. Who of you guys love change? Got that one guy too? Hey, all the Sunningdale guys love change. Thank you guys. That's why I brought them. Some people love change, but most of us do not like change. I believe in the slogan that says change is as good as a holiday. So I keep changing up things every time, all the time. And my wife says, Leafy, slow down, baby. And I think The Lord doesn't change things for the sake of changing things. I just want to say that. It's quite important that we realize that the Lord doesn't just say, hey, let's go plant at 8:30. The leaders think it's a good idea. No. The Lord is all about advancing His kingdom. And that costs sacrifice. Thanks, Juan, for reading. Where's Juan? Juan. For reading Romans 12 this morning. That we, in view of His mercies, the cross, His death, His resurrection, in view of His sacrifice, we want to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, our bodies is literally the vehicle we live in. It's the tent we live in. So if we give our bodies, it literally means we give everything. So our bodies is literally the thing we live in. So I can't keep my mind and just give my body. You can't do that. So we want to give our bodies as living sacrifices for the Lord. So this morning, as we look at what it means to be a new congregation, really a new plant, I trust that the Lord's going to stir our hearts. Maybe you remind yourself that this is a new plant. Yeah, can we say that? This is a new plant. This is a brand new congregation. It's Edgemead 830 planted. Why? To make room for more. Very simply, God wants to add more. So you plant out so that this can grow again. And there's space for more. That's why we had to plant George, Hartenbos, evening, morning, come to Sunningdale. Sunningdale planted out 8:30, 11. And it is a sacrifice. Remember how nice it was back when you guys were 9 o'clock? And you had that whole care area to yourselves every morning, and you could hang around till 1 o'clock. You guys remember that? That was good old days. But now we give that up so that there's room for more. Room for more. Jesus said, He's all about more. Adding the next person. The great commission is that we want to disciple the nations, guys. We're not here to enjoy church. But God wants us to enjoy church. Remember? So this is the day the Lord has made. God wants us to enjoy church. So let's look at what Jesus says in Matthew 9:17. New wine. Who likes new wine? So when we talk about the new wine, we're talking about what the Lord is doing. You can say, now you can say, who likes new wine? I love what the Lord is doing new. I love the change that He's bringing, but because it's Him that He's bringing it. So some of us sometimes get stuck. We think it's the elders that brought the change. Thanks for the honesty. We appreciate it. We got one guy that's repenting already. Come on. We think it's Rian's idea, or maybe Andrew's idea. Like, God, it's the Lord's idea to make room for more. Constantly, new wine. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. So the Lord is doing a new thing. And in view of His mercies, we want to know that He's every day and every morning we start afresh. There's a revelation. God, maybe a bit of a mystery in Lamentations hidden for us. Lamentations 3:23 says, great is His faithfulness and His mercies begin afresh each morning. The older translations would say, His mercies are new every morning. We need a daily encounter with the mercies of God. We need to daily start with the cross where Jesus died. Because if we don't start with the death of Jesus, our death that day and this day will seem very hard. But if we start with the death of Jesus, my little bit of death is small. So we want to start each morning with the new mercies of God in that which He already done for us. God wants to give us a fresh vision to do church. You know that Jesus said, I am building my church. So as we come to church, we get to co-labor with him. That's good news for me. Like, the biggest pressure for ministers, if you're a comm leader, deacon, if you anything, even if you're doing kids' church, sound, worship, the biggest pressure often is that we think that we need to bring it. I don't know what you want to bring, but you want to bring the presence. So you want to bring the Lord is already here, by the way, guys. He's never left. He has made his home within you. So the question is not whether the Lord is near. The question is, are we aware of his nearness? The Lord is already building his church. It's just for us to yield to what he is already doing. The Spirit is leading. The Spirit is blowing. John 3, Jesus teaches Nicodemus and he says, the wind blows. Who of you guys love that passage? Anyone got a love for John 3? Okay, we've got one, two guys. Lekker? Go read John 3, guys. It's absolutely fantastic. It teaches us the way of the Spirit, the way of the kingdom. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the wind blows. No one knows where it comes from. No one knows where it goes. And that is the way of the Spirit, the way of the kingdom. So our job as Christians is simply to yield to the leading of the Spirit. Do you guys, if you think about that picture of the wind, you suddenly realize, hey, there might be a lot more change that the Lord wants to bring along if I simply let him. I don't have to be able to explain everything, literally, because I don't know where it comes from. I don't have to always understand it, because I don't even know where it goes. The way of the Spirit is often mysterious. Rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Solid in every way, but often inexplicable to the logical mind. Even the peace of God, Philippians 4, Paul describes the peace of God as above understanding. Who of you guys have, okay, don't put up your hand, but if you guys got some real financial problems, real relational problems, real car problems. Why are you laughing? It's my wife. I don't put up your hand. Paul says, if you pray, the Lord will give you a peace that will guard your heart and will guard your mind, and that peace is above understanding. So now when Dirkie walks up to you and he knows about your problems and he sees that you have absolute peace, he will go, wow, I don't understand that. And that's the type of way that the Lord works. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And he gives us his Spirit to advance his kingdom. And as we do church with him and with his Spirit, everything doesn't always make sense. But he is moving. And the question this morning, are we old wineskins or are we new wineskins? Are we willing to say, Lord, I don't want to be the old wineskin? Because what happens with the old wineskin? It bursts. Who wants to burst? Because you not only ruin the skin, you ruin the wine. Who wants to ruin the wine? We said we like the new wine. Eh? We love to see God do what only he can do. We love to see people saved. We love to see people healed. We love to see marriages restored. We love to see people discipled. We love to see people walking in holiness and humility and love. We love to see these things. People added to family. People in community. People who were once drug. We've got some ex-druggies here in front, guys. These guys, they were real ex-druggies. They had to go to places like rehabs and stuff. And now they're sitting here, changed. New wineskins. New wine. There was no hope for them in the natural, in the logical. Are you guys with me? So new wine, the Lord wants to do things that there is no hope in the natural. Say there's only hope in Jesus. We have to remind ourselves. We need to get beyond what we can do. Are you guys with me? Like, so often people say the Lord will never ask you to do anything. What? What's that thing? That you can't do. He's like, well, absolutely ask you everything you can't do. Because he actually says in John 15, you can't do anything without me. He doesn't want you to do anything without him. And he actually doesn't want you to do the things that only you can do. Because then, who's going to get all haughty and proudful? Me. If I'm doing what only I can do, then I'm going to get prideful. Who's with me? And who wants to be prideful? That's when you say, not me. Not me. I want to be humble. Why do I want to be humble? Because God gives grace to the humble. And God releases his power and he moves through us when we say yes to humility. Yes to humility? Come on. That's a good one right there. Come on. Huh? How are you guys feeling? Okay. Let's move on. Old wineskins is this inability to contain what the Lord wants to do. So it's an interesting thing that the Lord limits himself to how we co-labor with him. And that's actually a beautiful thing. It shows the Lord's humility to choose mere humans like you and me. And he says, guys, I'm going to entrust to you what I want to do. I'm going to give you the opportunity to love my people. That's scary. So that puts the fear back right into my heart. Going like, oh my goodness. Me loving people is not a burden of life. It's a God-given commission. Amen? So we want to be soft. Flexible. Pilates people. Come on. Who likes Pilates? Get into it now while you're still young, guys. You want to be able to stay flexible till you're old. My wife has discipled me a little bit in Pilates. God is not just asking for us for a new schedule. Now we move to 8:30, same old, same old. No. This is a new. New wine skin, new plan, new vision, new expectation. You know, he's asking, and the solution to that is, and that's the solution to the Christian life. But again, I want to remind us this, Ezekiel 36:26. Can we read that together? It says, and I will give you a, can we say that again? I will give you a, I will give you a brand spanking new heart. Now that's amazing, guys. Do we have to struggle with the old heart? We must be a little bit more like David in Psalm 103 when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He speaks to himself. We have to remind ourselves, Lord, you have given me a new heart. And listen to what the Lord says. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart. You had a stony heart. Some of you guys still got some stones in your heart. I think all of us still got some stones in our heart, a little bit. Who's offended now? I love you. I really love you. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart. And listen to this. I will give you a tender and responsive heart. A responsive heart. A soft, a tender, and responsive heart. What is response? What type of response will it be that the Lord is giving us? Huh? Yes. A yes. A yes. Yes to his spirit. Yes to his leading. Yes to his ways. Yes to his love. Yes to his truth. Yes to forgiveness. Yes to mercy. Yes to holiness. Yes to the church. Yes to sacrifice. Yes to coming early so that I can give, so that I can pray, so that I can be the one who serve the other ones. Yes to service. Yes to not my glory, but yours. Yes to your kingdom. Yes to your will. No to sin. No to unforgiveness. That's the type of response the Lord works it into us. No to everything else that is contrary to the Lord's kingdom. So I want to quickly jump in with these two areas where the Lord really wants to give us fresh perspective. The first one is yourself. And the second one is one another. So for us, and I'm speaking as if I'm part of you guys, but I am part of you guys in a way, because if you, we are part of one another, you guys with me. But for this congregation, Edgemead 83, to move forward, you have to see yourself the way the Lord sees you. That's good. Come on. You can say amen to that. I want to see myself the Lord, the way the Lord sees me. And when you look around, you want to see the people the way the Lord sees them. I want to give us a couple of handles on that. You know, in a bigger congregation, it's easy to hide a little bit. You guys with me? But the moment there's smaller people, suddenly you are it. Have you guys noticed? Suddenly there's needs. We need people to help with this. But previously, you could have come and you sat down, you keep your own chair warm, and your chair is happy with you, and you're happy with your chair. But the Lord is not actually concerned about your seat. He's concerned about your heart. He's really, everything he does is to bring us more into himself. So you are actually needed now. Can we read Ephesians 4:16 together? Paul says here that Jesus, he is Jesus, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Come on. That's good news right there again. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work. Say each part. That's me. Say me. That's me. Pick me. Pick me. That's me. As I do my own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So as Dirkie does his own special work, as Ethan does, as each one of you do your own special work, it helps the other parts grow. That's a lot of pressure. Remember, he's the one who's building. So remember, the Spirit is the one who sustains you, who leads you. It's not a pressure, but it's an honor. It's the design of the Lord. So that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. So as I say, as you don't have to say this out loud, but you can think about this. If as I do my bit, the whole body grow. At first it helps other grow. So that the whole body is growing in health and growing and full of love. And I think the biggest challenge for us as Christians often is we're looking for love. But you guys will notice the love is at the end. It starts with the Lord fits us in. Well, it goes a little bit back in Ephesians 4:12. There's gifts, and the gifts equip. And that's why even what we're doing this morning, we're doing equipping. So that by the time we get to this verse, that each one of us realize that I'm number one, each one of us are fitted in perfectly. Perfectly. You might not walk in your perfect and full efficiency yet, but you are fitted in perfectly. You are not here by accident. And as you do your bit, you help other people grow. And then we start growing. There's health. And then we see the love. And then when Jesus said, you will know, they will know, the world, they will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. Here Paul unpacks this for us, and he says, the love you want to see starts with you doing your bit. Come on. So it really puts us back into each one of us as is called to be part of this body. And if the eye, some of you guys are discerning, you're prophetic, you are the seers. Seers not in a weird way, okay? But you have eyesight. Some of you guys are servants. You got the gift of serving, of helping. Some of you got the gift of administrating. Some of you guys got a gift of giving. Some of you guys get the gift of leading. And as you operate in these gifts, you what? You help others grow. And if you don't, there's a bit of a limp. You guys with me? So if the guy who's supposed to see don't not see, we miss out on what he should be seeing. We're literally missing out. If the guy who should be serving is not serving, we're missing out on that which that person would have brought. So that just pulls us right into a place of, I want to contribute. Who want to contribute? And the rest of you, who doesn't want to contribute? Who's not going to say anything? Come, Lord, help us. Help us. Perfect fit. So I just want to, and then the second part is, that we need to see each other in a fresh way. You know, the trap, let's read 2 Corinthians first, 5:16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. The older translations would say, we regard no one according to the flesh. At one time, listen to this, at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. So the grounds for seeing one another in a healthy way is knowing Jesus in the right way. If you struggle with your brother, it's because you don't see Jesus accurately. You don't understand his mercies yet properly. The only reason I'm struggling to in any moment be merciful is because I'm not seeing the mercies of Jesus accurately. And the easy way is go like, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see your mercies again. The key is knowing Jesus. Because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Verse 17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. But the trap here that the enemy sets us is the trap of familiarity. Now, I know that guy. Who of you guys have been here for longer than, let's say, 2 years? Well, not so many. Thank you. Some of the Sunningdale guys as well. Yes. Let's guard our hearts against the trap of familiarity. I know this guy, or I know that guy. Let's start with fresh mercies, fresh perspective. The Lord has added that person here for his reasons, for his glory, and for his purpose. We want to lay down familiarity, old ideas, offenses. There are some of you guys who are here who the Lord is putting his finger on, and he wants to call you into leadership. You guys know that? Are you willing to say yes? Some of you guys maybe were leaders, you're not leaders anymore, and maybe in a season of recovery. Go through those seasons. Wow. We had to go that through that. And you feel like you want to leave in those seasons often. But I want to encourage you, hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. And stay. 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 Let the Lord take you through the journey. Amen. So we can learn. Ethan, can we have some guitar, man? Who likes guitar? I like music. The Lord loves music. You guys know that? He commands us in the scriptures so much to play the string instruments. Because his heart is that both will be preserved. The last part of that verse. Matthew 9:17. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. So we say yes to new structures, new time slots, maybe even a new seat, new leaders. We say yes because we want to see your kingdom come, Lord. Lord, we say yes to building new friendships. We say yes to taking our kids through these journeys of it's painful, guys. But remember, we keep our perspective by looking at Jesus. God wants to preserve what He's doing, but He also wants to preserve us. He wants to preserve our churches, because His churches are meant to be pillars of truth in a very dark world, guys. So let's look at one another with eyes of, oh man, I'm going to look for the gold in that person. Each one of us. I'm going to look at my leaders in a fresh way. I'm going to be the guy who blows wind into Rian's sails. That's what I want to be. You know, Hebrews 13 says, make your leader's job a joy. Don't let it be a gray area, guys. The way we follow our leaders brings honor to God, or it doesn't. I don't want it to be heavy, but let it be an encouragement that the way we follow our leaders should be joy to them. It's an absolute privilege, guys, if you're not a leader, because you get to point to other people the same way that Jesus pointed to the Father. You get to be more like Jesus. The problem with being in leadership is now you're a leader. And you don't get to simply follow. But even as leaders, I want to say, if you are a leader, follow those guys in front of you, with all your heart. Never stop following. Follow. Follow Rian. Rian will follow Mornay. Mornay follows Andrew. We all follow Jesus. It's part of the design of God that we are men who follow men, who are disciples and who are being discipled, who chooses one-mindedness, laying aside our preferences. It's a big thing, our preferences, guys. Some of us like faster songs. Some of us like slower songs. Some of us like it if Rian preaches. Some of us like it if Rian doesn't preach. Some of us like it to have a prayer meeting at 8:15. Some of us like, I don't want to have a prayer meeting. Some of us want the prayer meeting at 8:30. Some of us want our old friends back. But we get to lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. Because one day when we're going to get to heaven, listen to this. When we all get to heaven that day, we're going to look back and we're going to go like, it wasn't even a sacrifice. In view of eternity, it wasn't even a sacrifice.